And so I realized very quickly that if I didn't go out into the community, if I didn't have an event that weekend, I didn't have a new patient that week.
Everyone, welcome to the Practice Growth Summit, and I'm super excited for our next guest. He is someone that I've followed for years, and he's a real mover and shaker in the profession. I really wanted to bring people onto the summit that are making an impact not only with chiropractors and their practices, but within the profession and our patients that we serve every day. And no better man. So I'll introduce you to an incredible doc. He needs no introduction really, because a lot of you would have heard of him before, but I will introduce you and he'll tell you a little bit about himself. I'm talking about the amazing Dr. Tabor Smith. So Dr. Tabor, lovely to have you on today, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background, how you got into chiropractic, and how long you've been in practice for, and sure. Give us a little bit of background.
Sure. I've been practicing 11 years. my wife's a chiropractor as well. We met in chiropractic school, and we run an office in Houston, Texas. And so I'm practicing every day in there, adjusting patients. That's why I think, I may have something to share is I'm literally implementing some of the things that we're going to be talking about with marketing, where it's being done on the ground, working, and, we'll talk more about those types of things. I had a really cool experience or story with chiropractic. My family, like most families, had no idea what chiropractic was until I had a health issue that kept me from, I was almost disabled. I couldn't hardly walk. I would wake up spasming, screaming, and sometimes at night in so much pain, my lower back shooting pains down my legs. I was only 16 years old. And I, after just, taking every medication known to man, as far as I know, anti-inflammatories, muscle relaxers, pain pills, that was just my daily dosage. I found chiropractic and it changed my life. I was able to do things I never would have got to do, play basketball, college basketball, all kinds of things. I just can't think of any reason why anybody wouldn't want to be a chiropractor. So that you can help people with those types of things and more.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, tell us a bit about the practice. A lot of times, like, people might see your success now and the great stuff you're doing, but tell us about the beginning days. What was it like for you? Was practice a breeze for you from the start? Did you have some challenges? What was the first year like for you in practice?
I was fortunate. When I first graduated from school, I worked in one of the largest chiropractic offices in the state of Texas, which is where I am now here in the U.S. And we saw about 1,400 visits a week in that practice. I was in charge of spinal screenings and some other marketing. So I just got a lot of experience doing that. I got my hands on a lot of people, which helped me become a good adjuster as well. But just being out and talking to people, learning how you could do low-cost marketing strategies. We did Dinner with the Doc. I learned from a great mentor how to do those types of things. And that way, when I started my practice, so I was an associate for 2 years, and then I started mine from scratch, and we just kept growing until I actually started with didn't borrow any money. We rented a little room from another chiropractor who was already practicing. I paid $1,000 a month for one room. And by the end of that first year, we were blowing up. He told me I had to find another place to go. And it was all because we hit the ground with low cost marketing strategies, getting out there in front of people, talking about chiropractic.
Very nice. Now, what I love that you said there was, I always believe that marketing is the fuel for your business in any way, shape, or form. And when you went out into the world, into your first practice, you had the solid foundations of having experience, having been in charge of spinal screenings for the practice you worked in. Yeah. So, we call that in our world, across our 8 sites, we call that our low-hanging fruit or our bankers. I think community events are so important. So tell us, what would you say, because that really built – that's also built our practices, and sounds like you're on the same wavelength as me. What would you say the three most, if you had to give docs a tip for the three biggest things to watch out, the three biggest mistakes people make at a community event, what would they be?
Well, I think number one is waiting for new patients to come to you. That's that's probably the biggest mistake. You know, I think this was actually something that I was fortunate to have, was when I did start my practice, we had zero signage. Like, we were on the fourth floor of a high-rise building. So there's nobody. And not only were did we have no signage, but if you looked down in the lobby and it said, you know, like room number, it was the other doctor's name on there. So when my new patients came in, they couldn't even find me on the directory in the building, right? And so I realized very quickly that if I didn't go out into the community, if I didn't have an event that weekend, I didn't have a new patient that week. And so I tried to schedule something every single weekend to make sure that I had new patients coming in. Yeah, so you can't wait for them, even if you have signage by a road. You can't wait for those new patients to come in the door. You got to go out there and get them.
Got it.
Secondly, I think maybe one of the things that's the biggest mistake is you wait until you think you're ready to get out there, right? So you're trying to, like, learn how to do a spinal screening, and you want to try to memorize all your scripts before you get out there and all these things, and you'll never learn more than actually just going and doing it. I think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes people make. Just get out there, talk to people about chiropractic. You'll get better and better as you go. Let's see if I can think of a third one. Thinking that you have to spend money to get new patients. You know, I there's nothing wrong with doing print ads or advertising or radio or TV, you know, all those things. But starting out, especially, I don't think you need to invest thousands of dollars in that kind of marketing. I think, to me anyway, better marketing that brings in better pre-qualified patients is when I can get out there and talk to them.
Nice. So, I mean, we have a little saying in my group, is my inner circle group, is that the secret to success is to show up. And it sounds like in your first year specifically, you showed up in like buckets and spades. You were out there all the time. If you had to recommend a schedule, like the bare minimum schedule for community events, screening type events, what would you recommend people should be at least doing a month or a year or whatever you recommend? What was your minimum criteria?
I think when you start out, you've got to try to schedule something every weekend. You probably won't. You might get 2 weekends a month actually, you know, scheduled. But I think you got to try to get out there at every event you can when you first start. Now we don't do as many screenings, but we still do as many, like if there's a big event, we're still there. We try to do a lot of lunch and learns. I find out that fits my schedule pretty well. So we try to do at least 2 lunch and learns a month. And then we do 1 dinner workshop a month, every month. And so if we can have 3 or 4 events a month, we're going to keep the new patients up around 50 a month, 50 to 60 new patients a month. And that's going to help you continue to grow. You know, if your new patients are down around 10 a month, you're going to be hurting.
Tough time. Yeah. So you obviously, the beginning days, I say low hanging fruit, get out there, do your community events, do your screening events, do your dinner with the docs, go to companies, do your lunch and learns, etc. But like, I've even seen you pivot a bit into, tell us about the world of social media and how that's without losing track, because I always like to say, you know, there's a lot of, sometimes social media can be quite distracting because your bankers still work. Your low hanging fruit will always work. So it's not about taking your eye off the ball with your events and your dinner with the docs, et cetera, but how are you using social media to complement your practice now? And it's an and conversation, you know, your low hanging fruit and your social media. Tell me what's working for you guys.
Sure. So my philosophy on social media, like I'm not the expert that knows how to target market every single person and take how many people watched what percentage of your video and send it to those people's inbox. And then, you know, all of those crazy, really cool things, if you know how to do, great. But the way I kind of look at it is I just want to be everywhere and be in front of people. And I can't do that without social media. You know, I've got to be at least Instagram and Facebook in email. I've got to be using at least those 3 things continuously. And there may be more, you know, LinkedIn or YouTube or, you know, all of those different platforms you could use. But I think it's hard to master all of them. I think if your philosophy is just, look, I got to put content out there because if I don't, everybody else will. And everybody else will be in front of my patients instead of me.
Okay. I think I'll write that down. What Tibor said there was the key thing is that it's hard to master all of them, but you've got to be doing them.
And yes, absolutely.
You know, honestly, one of the greatest gifts I ever got in my career was learning this saying, good enough is good enough sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Good enough. You can't do everything. You can't be perfect at it, but, you know.
So
you
tell me about you.
Plus, I find that it actually helps with my patients I already have as well, because they follow me, they stay connected. You know, they come in for their next adjustment and they say, oh, I saw your video on this or that. And it just really helps them for the tribe to be connected, you know?
Very nice. A quick touch base on something that you mentioned there, which I love. We use this extensively in my business. I don't know how I would have survived. I don't know how I survived when I wasn't doing it, but it's something that is definitely not spoken about enough in the profession. That's email marketing. Now, email marketing is, you know, email's dead. You have all the statistics out there. Yes, all those type of things. So and here's the thing, in the online space, our online entrepreneurs, you know, your list is so important. But tell about bricks and mortar. I try to teach my dogs, like you have to understand how important that list is for you in your patient list. So tell me a little about your email marketing when it comes to bricks and mortar business, your practice. So, you know, what are the fundamentals that you use email for?
I love email. I use the heck out of email. I think if you're not utilizing email, like, you're missing out big time. So we set up, for one, it makes my life easier. We set up an entire automated education system for all of our patients. So when they come in, we take their email. If they're not already in my email list, we take their email from their intake form, place it in an automated email sequence. So they're going to get one email a week for the next 12 weeks that they're under care that trains them on what I want them to know. That's how I set it up and wrote those emails, was I asked myself, what do I want a patient to know at the end of their first round, their life cycle of that initial care plan, which for us was 3 months, right? I'm like, at the end of that 3 months, what do I want them to know about chiropractic? And that's where they get that drip email every single week. And if they open half of them, you know, and they usually open way more than that, then they're getting a lot of that chiropractic philosophy that I don't have time to teach them at the table every time they come in, right? So that's building lifetime patients, because they're starting to understand why they're getting adjusted. And, you know, and then every event that we do, we capture emails. When we do spinal screenings, we get their name and email. It goes into that automated sequence where we're showing them, you know, the importance of chiropractic, the importance of taking care of their spine. Plus, not only that, but blasts. I have an email list, and every time we do a dinner, every single month, all my patients get blasted and invited to the dinner. We have two times a year, we do big patient appreciation days. So we were able to get 160 patients to our last patient appreciation day. And all through email, mostly. I mean, surely I'm putting flyers up in the office, you know, where I'm putting it on our Facebook page, and I'm asking patients to invite people. But that email is vital.
And you know what's so, you know, we have a little saying in my group, my insert group, is that success is boring. What I mean by that is, you know, there's nothing sexy about sending a whole bunch of emails out there, etc. But 160 people in a patient appreciation event, you know, the referrals you're going to get from that, the retention that you get from that, by changing up the environment, putting them in a different environment that it's different, you know, different context, your team's there, you're able to bond with them better. So that's absolutely amazing. I'm going to ask a funny question, actually. What CRM do you use? And when in the beginning of a CRM, okay, a lot of the people that do one of my courses, I do new patient avalanches. When they start with me, they haven't got a CRM. So tell me, what are some of the fundamentals you've seen with your CRM? What do you use? What do you recommend people start with? Tell me about some of that.
Yeah, so I made the mistake for a while of not having a CRM, and that was horrible. What we did was we used a Hotmail account, and we tried to blind copy all of our patients. And then what happens, you end up not putting the blind copy in right, and you end up emailing everybody's email. So don't do that. Get a CRM. I use AWeber.
Yeah.
And it's literally, when you're starting out, it's $20 a month or something. You know, it's nothing compared to a chiropractic overhead. So I would highly recommend AWeber. It's easy to use, but so is now MailChimp. A good one. I don't recommend Infusionsoft unless you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think MailChimp and AWeber maybe are the two easiest. There's a lot of new ones that I got in several years back on AWeber. And once you get in one, you kind of stick with it, you know.
Cool. Well, listen, that's awesome. I also recommend LoveDocs.com MailChimp. We have 8 offices, and so we use Infusionsoft, but we've got a team, and I agree with you guys. Sometimes it's a big old beast to get your hands on.
Nothing wrong, nothing wrong with Infusionsoft. You just gotta learn.
But it's a big learning curve.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I love your recommendations. AWeber, MailChimp, cheap, easy to go, and hey, they're gonna do an incredible job for you. You know, and I always say to everyone is, you know, whatever you do is probably better than what you're currently doing, which is most of the time, most docs, zero emails, zero follow-up, zero, follow-up campaigns. Now, I just quickly want to touch on something you said there. So you said that every patient that comes in and starts a journey with you, it enters a sequence of drip-feeding information, one per week for 12 weeks. Now, if you're listening to this now, the gold in that is that it's an automated, guaranteed system that educates. You know, because as docs, we're taking out human error. We have off days, right? We might not be on it one day. We might not be, when they come in, we might forget to drip feed something that's important. But what you're doing is you're essentially eliminating that fact. So I thought, so right now, if you're listening to this, please write that down. Please think. Tell me more.
What I would recommend actually is, so everybody, every chiropractor has a little bit different philosophy, right? Yeah. And so, I would write yours down and say, if there was a perfect patient and I had only one patient and all the time in the world to educate them, in their initial care plan, by the end of it, what would I want that patient to know about chiropractic and about my care? And then split that up into however many weekly emails that is for you. And then you could place it into your automated sequence. Now, I want my patients to be what I call shotgunned with that information. So when I wrote that down, I want my patients to know all of these things by the end of their care plan. I set it up. I set those things up in our waiting room videos that they come in. So when they come in, they might see a different spot of the waiting room video, but they're still learning all the same information that's in those emails. We have newsletters that go out. What is it about? All of those same exact things that are in the emails and that are playing on my waiting room. We have table talk, right? So when they come in, well, what is our table talk about? Same exact things they're getting in those emails, same exact things on the waiting room DVDs, same exact things in our newsletters. And so they're not going to open every email, but they might see the other part on the waiting room DVD, and they might not see the whole waiting room DVD, but they might get the other part in the newsletter or the tick. And by the end of their care plan, hopefully they've gotten most of that information.
Okay, very cool. So I just quickly want to touch one thing that Dr. Thibault was really hitting home there. One is there's a concept in marketing called mixed media. Like if you change up, like so what you're doing, you're guaranteeing, you're repurposing those emails, and that forms the basis for your education. It just, because it's really tough to think of content all the time. So you're reusing those emails to guide you for your content at the front desk, to guide you for your newsletters, the whole process. So very smart, guys. Make sure you can model that easily. Easing your practice. Awesome. Listen, one more thing I want you to run, and then we'll start wrapping it up. But what I would ask is, what's the thing that's worked most consistently for you over the 11 years? From a marketing perspective, what's the thing that's just worked the most consistently for you over the last 11 years?
Okay, so that specific question, because you could say like, what's brought in the most new patients at one time? And I might say like a screening event. We had 72 new patients in one weekend in the screening. Yeah. But your question was consistently over time, it would be our dinner with the doc.
Okay.
Sorry, are you still there?
Yeah, I've got this. Dinner with the doc.
Yes, so it would be our dinner with the doc. We've been doing a dinner with the doc I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We got you, Doc. That's all good.
Okay. I've been doing a dinner with the doc the first Monday of the month, every month for 10 years now.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yes. And every month it'll bring anywhere from, two new patients to 15 to 20 new patients. Like, you know, it's been up and down a little bit. Depending on the size of the room and how many people we actually get to that dinner. I've done a dinner where there was only 2 people in the room and one of them signed up. So it was still worth doing it, right? But consistently over time, I would not go without my dinner with the doc. Not only because it's bringing in new patients every month, but my my current patients are coming back every month to the dinner, and they are getting re-dipped in that chiropractic philosophy. And I have patients that have been with me for almost the whole 10 years that still come to the dinner every month. And I do the same talk every month for the dinner. Yeah. So I'm like, guys, I don't know why you keep coming back, because I'm not changing my talk up. They just love the camaraderie. They love bringing more of their friends. Yeah. They love the fact that we do that every month. The food in the company is good, but it builds a very strong tribe. It also brings in new patients. And I just think it's probably been the biggest, most consistent thing we've done.
Awesome. So I'm just going to point out something here. You know, I've done in this summit, the word discipline has come so many times. You know, there's nothing simple about doing a dinner with a doc every single month for 10 years. Nothing simple right. about it. It's not simple. It's not easy. You know, you got to do it every single month, every single month. So can you just talk to us three or four points about that, about, if you will, that campaign? Like, what are the key points that you have to hit home on? Like, how do you fill the room? What's your communication like across what media? And what are some of the like big mistakes that you see when people do that? Do they have consistency over 10 years? Just talk us through 3 to 5 points of making that work.
We've got it down to an art now after 10 years of marketing that. So we start 2 weeks before the dinner hanging flyers all over the office. And that way, when patients do come in, they start seeing that we're going to be having a dinner coming up. 1 week before the dinner is when I blast out the first email going out to my email list, which I think is important. And then at that point, I start my table talk. The whole week, I'm inviting every patient that comes in to the dinner. And I don't care if they come in 3 times that week, I'm inviting them 3 times.
Nice.
Now, and not only me, like when they come to the table, I'm inviting them. When they go to do their rehab, the rehab tech is inviting them. If they check out at the front desk, the front desk is inviting them. So they're going to get multiple invitations during that week if they come in our office. We'll start posting it to Facebook on a daily basis that week that we're having a dinner. Contact us. We've done some Facebook ads in the community. I've never had really huge results with that, but we post to our Facebook page and boost it to all of our followers that follow us on Facebook, because usually those are the people who are kind of connected with me and connected with our tribe. They all like our Facebook page, you know, and I found if I can boost it to them, they'll see it a lot more regularly.
Very cool. So basics are 2 weeks posters out in the office, big hype in the office, 1 week full of emails, 1 week out. That same week, full table talk, hitting it from the front desk and from your perspective in the room, and also Facebook daily posts.
Correct.
Tell me about show up rates. Your best way to, like, what kind of show up rate can you expect? What's the best way to improve show up rates? And then lastly, that's it. Really, just tell us about show up rates.
So then I didn't tell you, I sent an email 3 days before, which would be the Friday. If we do our dinners on Monday nights, the first Monday of every month. So 3 days before, I send it out on that Friday. I send it out again on Monday morning. And I found out that's the email that actually helps my show rate, because the people who signed up for the dinner forget they signed up for the dinner.
Got it.
So I send it out the Monday morning, reminding everybody that we have the dinner that night. And also letting people know we still have a few seats left if you want to grab them, right?
Very nice. Cool.
Yeah, so that helps tremendously. Now, when we first started, our show-up rates would be as low as 50% of the people that signed up would actually show up. But I'm telling you, you do it long enough and consistently enough, we actually have greater show rates than people who sign up now. So we'll have 15 people register for the dinner, and we'll have 25 people actually show up at the dinner now.
Very nice. So one of the criteria is to push bringing a guest, right?
Yes, we do push. And that's what increases it. A lot of times we'll have patients that just know there's a dinner, and they didn't let us know they were coming, but they come and they bring friends, and I just let them in, you know? So, and our room holds, I think we can fit probably 80 people in there. So we're good, you know.
And you do it in the office or in a restaurant?
No, we find a restaurant that has a private room, and, and I've done multiple restaurants. I've tried to do semi-private. It doesn't work. I always tell people, get a private room that the door closes and you could be in there with your patients
Yeah. Very cool. Doc, listen, thank you so much. Huge gems there, guys. Like we spoke about, you know, onboarding processes for your clients. We spoke about the whole process of low-hanging fruit, you know, getting out, doing at least, if you can, one per week, events, screening events. We spoke about dinner with the doc, how that worked for you every Monday, once a month for 10 years. So that's consistency. And we just want to say thank you so much for dropping us gems. It's amazing to have you on here. Thank you for all the great work you're doing. Amazing stuff. You're doing some cool stuff. Thank you so much for helping so many docs out there. Some gems tonight. I always say with all these summit interviews, like there's just one thing from every interview that if you implement consistently, the words discipline, the words consistently, your practice, it's impossible for your practice not to grow. So thank you so much. We appreciate you're a busy man. And thank you so much for taking time for us. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that. Some real gold there. Dr. Tabor, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the video. I hope it was helpful. If you haven't yet subscribed, please subscribe, hit the like button, and share the video or leave a comment. It really means a lot to me. Also, if you haven't subscribed, my statistics show that over 70% of you that watch my videos aren't subscribed. Hit the subscribe button. You do not want to miss the practice growth strategies I'm going to be teaching over the next couple of months. See you on the other side.